talent that's here and the talent that is continuing to develop here. We obviously have some mainstay guys like Ian Happ.
Ian Happ, Cubs all-star outfielder.
High fly ball right field. This one back. It's got a chance. And that one is gone. Nice piece of hitting, Ian Happ.
Here it comes. Line drive, base hit to right. Cubs win the ball game. Brujan scores. Ian Happ walks it off as the Cubs beat the Pirates 3-2 in 10.
Gold Glove Award winner.
Deep drive to left. That's trouble. Back goes Happ near the left field fence. Happ makes the catch right up against the wall.
Host of the Compound Podcast.
It was definitely an exhausting weekend, but I would much rather have that than 25 degrees playing. It's hot. You got to stay hydrated, but like, I love it. I don't love 25.
Connect Roasters coffee enthusiast.
Here's a man that probably has 5 fresh pots a day.
Ian Happ on 670 The Score.
We toast you, Ian Happ.
We do toast Ian Happ. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Cubs Gold Glove outfielder Ian Happ co-hosts the Compound Podcast. It is now a part of Odyssey Sports. New episodes drop each Wednesday with the latest discussion on the Cubs and baseball. Download and listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, Ian.
Hey, how are you?
Good. I think the better question is, how are you after a day off where you finally finish your stretch of games, 26 total in June?
Yeah, it was good to get a day, everybody to kind of recharge. I think that stretch, just a lot of games and some hot conditions and travel. It'll be good to be home for a little bit, and schedule gets a little bit lighter here as we have a couple off days into the All-Star break, and then a nice schedule coming out of the break with home games, and then the White Sox, Milwaukee, and back home. So it's a nice little stretch for us.
I'm real curious, Ian, just about the way that you approach when the schedule comes out and seeing how it lays out. What's ideal for you, and maybe in a year where things are different, such as this, where you play the 2 early games in Japan, how much did that help early, and how much are you maybe feeling it now that you haven't had as much time off the last month?
Yeah, it was interesting just the way they did the schedule. One of the things that Major League Baseball tries to do is to not give a competitive advantage down the stretch. So, you know, they really stacked a lot of our off days in those first 2 months where we had a ton of, we were only playing 6 in a row. We played 9 in a row was the most until kind of the beginning of this month. So it was a really, really nice April, May for us as far as off days go and rest. And then, you know, they knocked all those out so that we wouldn't have an advantage coming down into these summer months. So you understand it, but it was interesting just the way it played out this year.
Well, and it's something that you told us about. I think you were the first Cub to maybe speak up about just the anticipation part of looking at the schedule for the month of June. Like you said it, you go, you know, you're going to see different combinations in the outfield because Craig Counsell's going to try to rest guys. We indeed saw that. You know, you warned us about that happening. And I also think sometimes you're so powerful as a player, and you guys are so powerful when it comes to the mentality aspect of baseball helping you. You know, is it sometimes where also, if you psych yourself out of it too much, can it also hurt you? Because you end up 500 over the month of June. You knew it was going to be a bear. You know, how do you feel like you guys dealt with that, looking back at it, knowing you were anticipating it being?
I think anytime you have a month like that, we obviously didn't play as well as we wanted to in June, as far as the record. I think we played some good teams, ran into some teams that were playing really good baseball, and I think we played some close games in there that we didn't come out on top of, and that's just, those stretches are going to happen. I think, you know, we've talked about this a lot. It's never going to be a perfect season. You're not just going to roll through the whole thing with no issues or no hiccups. So I think when you have a month that you don't feel great about and it's 500, you know, you can move on from that and keep chugging. And I think we're in a position here to get back into a stretch where we're winning series and feeling like we're on a roll. I think, you know, that's our goal, is to get back to a place where we feel like every series we have a chance to take 2 out of 3 and just keep going.
Ian Happ, Gold Glover, joins us here on Raheem Ian Harris here on 670 The Score. And Ian, it's interesting because we've heard a lot about Seiya Suzuki kind of changing his approach at the plate, being more aggressive as a hitter. And we're seeing that he already has his career high in the major leagues in home runs with 22, and we're just halfway through the season. I'm curious as to when you go back to coming off the injured list and took you a minute to kind of adjust, and we saw in the first couple months of the season looking very much like yourself as far as on-base percentage is concerned. And then the slug wasn't quite there. And then in the month of June, you hit 9 home runs. Obviously, the slug is there, but the on-base percentage takes a dip. Do you attribute that to anything, whether it's the return from the IL, taking a different approach, either from the left side, right side, or both? How would you explain that to people watching you perform on a night-to-night basis?
No, I don't know that I would attribute to anything. I think you get – sometimes you have stretches where – the hits are falling and there isn't a ton of slug, especially early at Wrigley when blown in. I don't think through my career, if you look at my Aprils and Mays, there's just generally not a ton of slug there, and it shows up more in the summer. But yeah, I think June, you look at the batting average on balls in play is super low. I think you just, there's not a lot of balls that I hit in the month and found grass. It felt like there was a stretch there where it had to go out of the park to be a hit. And I think that's, as a player, it's a really frustrating place to be, where you feel like if you put it in play, you're out. And if you hit it over the fence, you know, that's the only way to get on base is to walk or hit it over the fence. So it's just one of those stretches of at bats where not getting things to kind of go your way. And you know that keep going, that those things are going to even out over the course of the year. Yeah, it's not the happiest place to be when it feels like it's not going your way in that sense.
We're talking to Ian Happ, who, and the Cubs, along with Ian, begin a 3-game set tonight at home against the Guardians. They have a 6-game homestand here at Wrigley before they get a day off on Monday. And I know we've talked a lot about Jameson Taillon with you. I'm going to ask you to also set your hate for pitching aside when I ask you what Matt Boyd has meant to the team. Even listening to his interviews is such a joy. How do you describe what he's meant, just playing with him as a teammate, and then also who he is as a person?
I mean, as a human, just such a good person. I think he's one of the nicest individuals. That was kind of the scouting report from Zach Short. You know, Zach had played with him, and when we signed him, hey, Shorty, what do you got on Matt Boyd? He's like, he's the nicest guy you'll ever play with, and that is very true. He is a genuine, great human being. Goes about his business in a really good way. And I think for the young guys, you know, when for Ben Brown and for Cade, like having Jameson and Boyder as influences and Colin Ray as influences on just how to go about a 5-day rotation set, how to go about your work. Like, it's been really cool to see those guys do their thing and kind of take the young guys under their wing and show them how to do it. But I think from a performance standpoint, just it's incredible what he's been able to do. We knew he was nasty, faced him last year with Cleveland, and saw it firsthand. But the consistency and the ability to do it every time out, he commands all of his pitches. He's got a bunch of different looks for hitters. You know, if the slider's not working, being able to throw the changeup and the fastball, dumping the curveball, just he has a really good feel for all those pitches in a variety of counts. You know, the ability to, if he's 2-0 to a hitter, to throw a changeup in there to reset the count. It just, all those things make him so valuable for our group, and it's been fun to watch.
Well, and I also feel like observing the AL Central, I've gotten a good observation of his profile and how he's changed. You know, he used to be this mow him down strikeout pitcher, and he can still, like you said, have great command, but he is a true example of what happens when you perfect the craft as a pitcher and how you can extend and change your career.
Yeah, for sure. And that even though he's had to battle some injury stuff throughout his career, that, you know, this stuff is still there. And he learned in the era with, you know, a really good staff in Detroit, and just he knows how to pitch. Like, he really knows how to pitch. He knows how to get through a lineup a couple of times. He knows how to save pitches for big spots. Like, all those things are really evident when you get to watch him every fifth day, and it's been a joy to kind of watch as he keeps going, and you kind of see all those little things pop up.
Ian, we look at the National League Central standings, and you guys had a bit of a gap. I don't know how much attention you pay to the standings at, just at the halfway point of the season, but you've got three teams in the Brewers, Cardinals, and Reds all still very much alive and with over 500 and within striking distance of the NL Central. Do you feel like you guys have what it takes to hold on all season, or you expect this to be kind of nip-tucked the rest of the way? Because we're looking at this as, hey, the Cubs are 14 games over 500. They went through a bit of a June swoon with a 500 record, but now that the calendar has turned to a new month and an opportunity to kind of reset after that day off yesterday.
Yeah, I think the NL Central wind up the best record in baseball. Is that true? Collectively,
let's look.
That literally could
let's
be
look
true
at the standings
because
right now
I could tell you this: three of the teams, if the playoffs started today, would be in the playoffs. The Cubs, obviously a division leader, the Brewers and Cardinals would hold down the second and third wild cards.
Yeah, I think it's a tough division. I think we've played good baseball. Obviously, there's things in there that we could have done better, and you know, there's still second half of baseball to be played, but it's a good division. Milwaukee's playing good baseball. You know, we got to see St. Louis for the first time. They're playing good baseball. You know, we've seen the Reds and what they can do. Got some young guys that have just come up, and we know that how well Pittsburgh has pitched it all year. And so it's a tough division. It's really, there's some good teams that are playing good baseball. I think we are worried about the Chicago Cubs and us going out and playing one day at a time. And that's all we can focus on. You know, there's still however many 75, 80 games left in the season. And we're focused on those.
I think too, if you look at the standings, there's a couple things that stand out. You have a 2-game gap between the Cubs and the Brewers as far as 1 and 2. There's a 1.5-game gap in the AL East between a future opponent of yours coming up, the Yankees and the Rays. And then there's also the totals in the NL West, which are 53 wins for the Dodgers, 45 for the Padres, 45 for the Giants, 42 for the Diamondbacks, but then 19 for the Rockies. So I feel like we're still kind of trying to assess. But when it comes to top to bottom in the gap, you can absolutely make the argument for the Central, and I think that's part of it too. You don't have a team like the Rockies in your division.
No, and the Pirates, you know, you go out and you face the Pirates, and they're probably going to play 3 games that are low scoring. That's just that the way that they've pitched it. You know, there's challenges to every team in baseball. You know, everybody's playing in the big leagues, and every game is hard to win. That's what makes it so much fun to come to the ballpark every day. But it's a really good division, and I think you've kind of seen that as the first half has played out, that all these teams have a chance to go on a run and play good baseball. And you know, we're happy with where we're sitting right now, and you know, it's our job from this point to keep going and to play really good baseball on the way in, and there's still plenty of time left.
Question, were you on the boat with Kyle Tucker yesterday? If not, what did you do on your off day?
I did not make it out on that boat yesterday. It was nice to get home and spend some time at home doing some stuff and be in the city. So I didn't make it out on that boat, but I know a bunch of those guys went out and were able to be on the water, which is really cool. And I think for some guys, probably their first time being out on Lake Michigan, it's a beautiful day for it. So it's cool when the group can get together like that and do some of those kind of things.
I feel like it is a great selling point. Like, people don't really know until they come to the city the beauty of the baseball off day where they get to hang out in the middle of the summer like that. Everybody looked pretty happy in that picture.
Yeah, what other city can you get on the water right in the middle of your city and go on a boat and enjoy it? It's a special part about being in Chicago in the summer.
We know you like to use your off-day time wisely, and I thought that was a good one as well. Ian, what can you tell us about Connect Roasters, what's going on, and what's the latest?
Yeah, we're going to have an event at Brick House. I believe it's August 20th at Brick House. We're going to have another meet and greet, so we're excited about that. Tickets are available at connectroasters.com. And cold brew's going really well. People can check it out. Steingold's across the street next to the stadium. I think they're selling it obvious shirts too, so you can go grab some cold brew around the stadium if you're going to be at the game this week.
Ah, yes, the Ian Happ Makes Me Coffee shirt. I know it well. Ian Happ, thanks so much for joining us here on Raheem Ian Harris on The Score.
Thanks, Ian.
Thanks, guys.